अहं त्वम् इति अपार्थाधीर
अहं त्वम् इति अपार्थाधीर
अज्ञानात्पुरुषस्य हि
अज्ञानात्पुरुषस्य हि
स्वात्मैव बाध्यता ध्यानात्
स्वात्मैव बाध्यता ध्यानात्
यया बन्धा विपर्ययो
यया बन्धा विपर्ययो
अहं त्वम्
अहम्
आई त्वम्
त्वम्
यू इति
इति
थस
थस
अपार्था
अपार्था
मिसकॉन्सीव्ड
मिसकॉन्सीव्ड
धी
धी
इंटेलिजेंस
इंटेलिजेंस
अज्ञानात्
अज्ञानात्
फ्रॉम इग्नोरेंस
फ्रॉम इग्नोरेंस
पुरुषस्य
पुरुषस्य
ओपोपेशन
ओपोपेशन
ही
ही
सेटनली
सेटनली
स्वप्नी
स्वप्नी
अ ड्रीम
अ ड्रीम
इवा
इवा
लाइक
लाइक
अभाति
अभाति
अपीयस
अपीयस
अतः ध्यानात्
अतः ध्यानात्
फ्रॉम बॉडली कॉन्सेप्ट ऑफ लाइफ
फ्रॉम द बॉडली कॉन्सेप्ट ऑफ लाइफ
तत् ध्यानात् मीन्स वी जस्ट सेड इट फ्रॉम तत् ध्यानात् फ्रॉम बॉडली कॉन्सेप्ट ऑफ रिमेंबर दिस पॉइंट दैट्स द सेंट्रल थीम ऑफ श्री गोपाल भार्गव या अहम मीन्स वी जस्ट सेड इट आई त्वम मीन्स सो अहम एंड त्वम एंड देन द तत् ध्यानात् Bodily, let's repeat that, right? Tat, kids, you also listening, huh? Tat, dhyana, as much as you are raring to go with the Sanskrit, you know, let's understand the meanings as well, yeah? Tat, dhyana means from bodily concept of life. Yaya, by which?
By which?
Bandha,
Bandha.
Bondage.
Bondage.
Bandha means?
Bondage.
Bondage, remember this as well. Viparyau, and misery. Bondage and
misery.
Okay. Now let's look at Srila Prabhupada's translation. Srila Prabhupada ki?
Jai.
Misidentification of oneself and others as I and you, aham and tvam, on the basis of worldly concept of life, is a product of ignorance. This worldly concept is the cause of repeated birth and death. And it makes us go continuously in material existence. Let's read that again to understand it. Yeah? Misidentification of oneself and others as I and you on the basis of bodily concept of life is a product of ignorance. This bodily concept is the cause of repeated birth and death, and it makes us go on continuously in material existence. The concept of I and you, aham tvam, as separate from each other, is due to our forgetfulness of our eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Person Krishna is the central point. Krishna is the central point. Remember this as well. Can you remember? The Supreme Person Krishna is the central point, and all of us are his parts and parcel, just as hands and legs are parts and parcel of the whole body. When we actually come to the understanding of being eternally related to the Supreme Lord, this distinction, which is based on the bodily concept of life, cannot exist. The same example can be cited here with the hand is the hand and the leg is the leg. But when both of them engage in the service of the whole body, there is no such distinction as hands and legs. For all of them belong to the whole body. And all the parts working together constitute the whole body. Similarly, when the living entities are in Krishna consciousness, there is no distinction as I and you, because everyone is engaged in the service of the Lord. Since the Lord is absolute, the services are also absolute. Even though the hand is working one way and the leg is working in another way. Since the purpose is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are all one. This is not to be confused with the statement by a Mayavadi philosopher that everything is one. Real knowledge is that hand is hand, leg is leg, body is body, and yet all together are one. As soon as the living entity thinks he is independent, his conditional material existence begins. The conception of independent existence is therefore like a dream. Prabhupada writes, the conception of independent existence is therefore like a dream, swapna, swapni we saw in the ways. One has to be in Krishna consciousness, his original position. Then he can be freed from material bondage, bandha. Om Jnanati Virandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmay Shri Guruve Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Vacharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pashyatya Desatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivashadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So this text is in the context of Dhruva Maharaj getting ready to go back to Godhead, is the title of the chapter. We have been familiarizing ourselves and enjoying the nectar of the Dhruva pastime, which has been going on for some time. At this juncture, as we know, that Dhruva Maharaj, after being abused by his stepmother, and after getting purified due to his deep meditation, comes back home to his worldly home, and he is coronated as the king. He gets married. Then he enters into this battle with the Yakshas, comes out victorious. Then in the last few verses we saw that Kuvera is blessing as well as instructing Dhruva Maharaj regarding the wisdom of a life. So at this juncture what Kuvera is saying, that this misidentification between you and I leads to material bondage. And Srila Prabhupada explains that quite thoroughly in his Prabhupada. So what we see in this text, and what we also see in the Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada writes, regarding the problem, he identifies the problem, he identifies the cause of the problem, then he tells us the consequence of the problem, and finally he gives the solution to the problem. What is the problem that Prabhupada highlights, leveraging from the West? The problem is the worldly concept of life. Aham, Tvam. I and you. Then what is the cause of this problem? I and you. And when we look at the West, Aham, Tvam iti, Apartadhi. So the cause of this problem is Apartadhi and Agnana. Two causes of the problem. Apartadhi. Dhir means intelligence, buddhi, or dhira, very stabilized person. Dhir. So Apartadhi is somebody whose intelligence has been taken away, stolen. Apartadhi. Krishna tells us in the Bhagavad Gita as well, that there are four types of people who do not surrender unto them. Who are they? Namam diskritano mura prapadanti naradama nyana apartha. Maya apartha nyana. Apartha nyana. Nyana is knowledge, apartha is stolen, and maya is illusion. This one of those four classes is this person whose knowledge has been stolen by illusion. So similarly here we see where I am saying that apartha dhir. Dhir is the intelligence which has been stolen. Apartha. First cause of the problem. And what's the problem? Worldly concept of life. I and you. My and yours. My country, your country. What is the cause of the problem? Knowledge has been, intelligence has been bewildered because of ignorance. Agnana, avidya. What is the consequence of this problem? The effect of this problem is that when we are in this kind of delusion that it's all about me and you on a bodily concept of life, then Kuvera says, and Prabhupada also repeat, that it becomes swapni, it becomes a swapna, it becomes a dream. Prabhupada wrote here, which I ask you to remember. The concept of independent existence is therefore like a dream. Life becomes a dream. That is the consequence of this misidentification. As they say, children's, what do you call those little songs at the children's age?
Nursery rhymes.
How does it go? Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. The bachchon, the kids that teach them at the young age, that life is but a dream. That is exactly what Prabhupada is telling us. That life is but a dream. Jeev jago, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, get out of this dream. They say merrily, merrily, merrily down this dream. I don't know whether it's actually merrily. Most likely it seems like chaotic from a child's age. The bombardment of academic education that they have to inculcate, life at children's age itself becomes very stressful. Forget about at our age. There is more problems to face. So life is but a dream. So Prabhupada says the consequence of this misidentification is life is just a dream. Now what is the solution? The solution is the vidya. Ignorance is the cause and the solution is the knowledge, the vidya. What is the vidya? That Krishna is the central point, Prabhupada writes. Krishna is the central point and we are all parts and parcels of Him. And therefore, just as hands and legs work properly when they are in congruence with the goal of the whole body, similarly, we will also be satisfied when we function on the understanding that we are not independent living entities, but dependent living entities, orchestrated to fulfill the plans of the Lord. Our plans work when we partake in the plan of the Lord, not when we have our own plans. Then that's when it goes pear-shaped. So, let's get that and then we'll flow into each of the aspects. So, the problem is that we are on the bodily concept of life. Why? What is the cause of the problem? Ignorance and the illusory intelligence. What is the effect of that problem? That we live our life like a dream, not knowing what the reality is and what the dream is. What is the solution? Vidya, knowledge. What is that knowledge? That Krishna is in the center and we are made to save Him as the legs and hands save the whole body. Clear, Shabha? So, when one is situated on the bodily concept of life, and if we look back to Dhruva himself, the genesis of his becoming so intense in his meditation is his krodha, is his anger. Being Kshatriya, he was inherently, and intrinsically, it was his inherent nature to be anger. Kshatriyas have their, power to show their chivalry. So when he was abused by his stepmother, he wanted to take revenge. And we all know this, but just recap, I guess, quite briefly. When he meditated, after being nicely guided by his mother and his spiritual master Narad Muni, his meditation is at the beginning quite adulterated. Although it's nice to go to the Lord with any motive, akama sarva kamova, rather than coming anywhere else. In this case, Dhruva goes to the Lord with a motivated desire. What is the desire? That I want a kingdom that is more opulent than my father, and for that matter, more opulent than anything else in the world. So, if you see, his desire is to increase his standard of living. I want something, I want a palace that is full of gold and jewels and whatever. It's very opulent. So the standard of living has to be increased, and therefore he goes to the Lord to beg Him to bestow upon him this benediction. Standard of living. What he doesn't realize is that there is a difference between standard of living and standard of life. There's a difference between standard of living and standard of life. Let's first understand what we mean by standard of living, and then I'll contrast it with the standard of life. When we talk about standard of living, generally, it is seen as material prosperity that entitles us or provides us with a more comfortable lifestyle. Generally, it is measured in terms of comfort level that is born out of financial stability. That's the standard of life, a very broad definition. Now, if we analyze this, this is based on a bodily platform. On an I and you platform. That this is my house, these are my two cars, big nice cars, This is my suburb, this is my job, this is my position in the office, this is my iPad, And it's not any ordinary iPad, it is the latest gadget, iPad Pro. Is it? That's the latest? So many versions that I lose track of what is the latest one. I think it's a iPad Pro. It's 9-inch, 8-inch. They keep changing the size. Just what the content is still the same, but they just keep changing the size to sell more and more. So my iPad, my son, my wife, my country, my football team will win the World Cup. I'm sure you don't know what is World Cup so far, because I'm sure you're not watching it. But just in case, for those who might have accidentally seen it on TV, my football team will win. Like so this is all mine. It's like a dream on a bodily concept of life. So standard of living, more opulent, so that we can enjoy all these things. But what we note from here, what Prabhupada is saying, that actually we are not the body. I mean, we have had this for trillions of times. We are not this body. But the internalization of that Vedic wisdom, is probably not sinking in. It goes until throat. The moment we leave the bus, then we go, again on the bodily platform. So that internalization seems to be taking forever, that I'm not the body, I'm the soul. And Sri Prabhupada has given us so many energies. We are not the body, we are the soul, It just keeps forgetting, for whatever reasons, Why? Because of Agnyana. And because of Apartha Dhir, the intelligence is being built up, and we continue to work on the bodily platform, trying to increase our standard of living rather than increasing our standard of life. And I'll explain all that in detail. Let's do one more thoughtful or thought experiment for 2 minutes. Let's do one more attempt of inculcating that we are not the body. We know this, but just to refresh it, as a refresher experiment, what I request you to do is to close your eyes. Rest assured, nothing will be stolen. We are all devotees now. So you can feel safely. See, Mataji is immediately hanging on with the Just joking. So let's close our eyes. Let's all close it together. Kids, please close your eyes. I'm going to get you to do one experiment with us. You can't write with your eyes closed, Baba. Close your eyes. Maybe just take a few deep breaths, just to get into the mood. Keep your eyes closed. Don't open it at any point in time. Now, with your eyes closed, I want you to see. Eyes are closed. Keep it closed. But I want you to see. I want you to see whatever is visible with your closed eyes. Some of us might be just seeing some hazy colors, or we might be seeing a portrait of this temple room itself. We might be seeing what is outside in the courtyard. We might be seeing our house. Our loved ones might be coming in front of us. Our son, parents, spouse. We might be seeing our office. If you are lucky, you might be seeing your boss. You might be seeing India. You might be seeing Australia. So many things are coming, and they are playing like a movie. And we have got a good understanding of what we are seeing. Now, keep your eyes closed. Take one step back. Take one step back and see if you can still see what you were seeing. Take more steps back. Take few steps back. Keep taking the step back. And you will realize that you are still seeing a lot of things. We are seeing, you know, from our childhood till our youth, you know, to our adult age. We are seeing everything. And with that replay, you can slowly open your eyes. Now, if we analyze it, eyes were closed, but we could still see, correct? Metaphorically speaking. Now this can lead us to the conclusion that actually the seer, the S-E-E-R, the seer is something that is internal. It's not necessarily that, you know, the eyes is what is seeing. Eyes is the mediums with which we may have seen. But that seer that was seeing all that, that was replaying on the screen of the mind, is actually what we are. Krishna tells us in the Bhagavad Gita that that seer is actually the real you, which is the soul. And the soul is able to see whatever the mind is playing on its screen. So almost like behind your eyes, you know, there is a TV screen on which all these things were being replayed. How was that possible for the soul to see all that? It's because the mind has captured all that memories, all that images. Some, you know, verbatim, some maybe little distorted, but that memory is there, you know, on the mind screen. What we actually see with our open eyes is just the scene outside, which then becomes the input through which the eyes capture that and store it on our database of mind. And the soul continues to witness all that, to see all that. So if you analyze, there's three things here. Hopefully you have opened your eyes and not fall asleep, you know. That's another problem there. So there's three things here. There is the seer, there is the screen, and there is the seeing. Three S's if you like. The seer, the screen, and the seeing. The seer is us. That's the soul. That's the jeev that we are. The screen is the mind on which, you know, all these replays are going on. And the scene is outside in a landscape, which is then being captured into our mind. With this simple experiment, again, you know, we can refresh our realization that we are not the body. There is something else that we are, that we have to continuously tap into. Now the point of this refresh was to say that Prabhupada highlighted to us right at the beginning of this purport, that the material bondage is caused by this I and you. And this I and you come when our eyes are open. That we can see, you know, that you are different and I am different. The bodily concept of life. But the real understanding is that we are the soul. And we are connected with Krishna. Once we re-establish that connection, then this distinguishment between I and you, Prabhupada says that it does not exist in Krishna consciousness. So back to the standard of living, we were saying that standard of living means, you know, material comforts coming through, you know, on the support of the financial stability we may have. And if you actually analyze it, you know, from where we are at the moment in Melbourne, for as many days as we have been in this country, and for that matter, you know, even when we go back to India, we will notice that actually the standard of living is going up. There's no doubt. But really speaking, through the parameters that there is there to measure our standard of living, undoubtedly it is going up. To the extent that some of the comforts that we can obtain is far more than possibly even some of the comforts that royal kings would probably have, you know, hundreds of years ago. For example, you know, air conditioning if it's too hot. This didn't exist. Push of a button, you know, you get hit. Push of a button, you get cold. Remote control, you know, controls many things. That we don't have to get out of the car to open the gate. With a remote control, you can turn the lights off. With an iPhone gadget, you know, you can do so many transactions. You know?
it's almost becomes a fourth necessity of life, you know, after roti kapda makan, you know. Mobile phone also is almost there, you know, is the must. Whether the food is there or not, maybe we can survive with some Apple products and replace the literal apple now. So these gadgets have made, you know, life quite, you know, standard of living definitely going up. But what we also noticed, especially, you know, when this is so evident in the Western countries, that the standard of living is so high, the stress level is also very high, simultaneously. To the point that the World Health Organization has declared stress to be an epidemic. It means, you know, that majority are suffering from it. I was looking at these statistics. The highest sold medicine over the counter at the moment, are antidepressant tablets. That is the stress level. So this shows us that there seems to be something wrong in the equation. I mean, the standard of living is going up. If the stress level is also equally going up, then something has gone wrong somewhere in the whole formula. Something is wrong. Obviously, even a layman will tell us. We are being bombarded with, you know, products after product after product to increase our standard of living. What they call it, lifestyle products. Buy this and your lifestyle will improve. One of the companies itself is called LG. Life is good until the product stops working. Then they'll tell you, oh, unfortunately, my dear customer, you are outside the warranty period now. So you have to buy a product again. And good news is that we have got even a better model than this. It will do many more things for you. Where is life is good? Lifestyle products. Buy nice sofa and you'll, you know, be very, very comfy in your house. Until, you know, we become potato couch. Hot potato. So, all these products entices us to, you know, get hooked onto this, you know, whether it's an iPad, an iPhone, or a TV screen, or a big car, or a big house, you know. These days, even if you go on now, even if you are working in the office, you know, the moment you go onto a website, Google knows very clearly which links you have pressed before. So that tailor-made advertisement will come on your screen. Even if you are reading, you know, something spiritual, there will be a, you know, small ad at the corner. Google knows what did you buy last time. So if you bought a bread maker, you know, then some more products around that bread maker will flash up. And the mind will say, yeah, this sounds good. No, let's buy this. So the mind keeps telling us that our happiness is just finally one step away. Our permanent happiness, the mind tells us. That's why mind is a very good storyteller. Why? Because what it tells is stories. Not necessarily what is reality. So mind tells us this story that this final product that if we buy, whether it's a cloth, piece of cloth, you know, whether it's a TV or whatever, then our life will finally become happy. When we buy that, what happens? Same story tells again. Now this product. And then we are bombarded with this, you know, advertisements on iPad, on YouTube, on billboards, on books, on buses, on trains, on trams. Everywhere you go, it just follows us. Buy this, consumer. And somebody told me, that's why it said, you know, with a Hindi accent, it said consumer. Why? Because you consume and mar. Consume and die. Mar in Hindi means die. So consumer society. So, bombarded with this lifestyle product, you know, LG and others. Selfie. Probably the most used technology, you know, in the recent times is the use of selfie. But what is missing from the selfie is the self. Prabhupada tells us, you know, applying it to this philosophy here, this philosophy applying it to the selfie. When, you know, we take the pictures and put it on Facebook, then what is happening? We are looking for adoration, isn't it? Frankly speaking, we are looking for adoration. Look how, see how look, how good I look. See where I have been. You know, at the moment I'm in Switzerland, and I look at all these, you know, mountain tops with, you know, nice snow. That is where I am. And by the way, I presume you are still in Melbourne in the cold. You know, I'm enjoying here. Oh, I'm, you know, going on this train. Oh, I'm eating this food. Or this is the shop, you know, that I'm at the moment, you know, shopping in. It's all about I, and therefore be flashy through selfie. But the problem Prabhupada highlights here is that we are not the self. We are not this body. The real self is the soul. How many of us take picture of the soul and put it on Facebook? Well, literally not possible, but what, you know what I mean. So again, that bombardment of our own glorification on Facebook, etc. is again centered generally, you know, broadly speaking, around the self, the selfie, the body. What we are looking for is the adoration. But as Srila Prabhupada tells us in the Prabhupada, the solution is not our self-adoration, but our absorption in Krishna. Rather than looking for our own adoration, you know, the solution is absorption, not the adoration. Look how beautiful Krishna is. Yeah? And that can go on Facebook, on the book of our own faces. Yeah? Especially when you come to the temple, or, I mean, the Titi Darshan is always brilliant, but personally speaking, you know, I just find the deities very exuberant on Thursdays. Especially Radha Vallabha. When Madhu Manjari Mataji decorates them, oh my god. Yesterday Radha Rani was absolutely out of this world. She was thousands of unlimited times beating the most beautiful princess or, you know, Bollywood actress or beauty queen. Incomparable. That's how beautiful Radha Rani was looking yesterday. I mean, always, but just my realization is, I just get hooked for Thursday morning darshan at 7 o'clock. If you are not going to the temple on Thursday mornings, then make sure it's in your diary. Absolutely amazing Radha Rani. Just when all the hair, the flowers are on the hair. Oh my god. So, the image of Radha Vallabha on our Facebook, that connects us back to our eternal position. So, to summarize that section, before I explain what is standard of life, you know. Standard of living is material comfort that we are seeking based on our financial positions. You know, to have a good house, a nice car, and all of them are absolutely fine. There is no problem with that. The phenomenon becomes a problem when the standard of living becomes the only goal of our life. It's not that we are averse to, you know, having a, you know, opulent house or something. That's fine. But Prabhupada warned us, you know, that life, we should be simple living, not simply living. Our life should be based on simple living, not simply living. Simply living is when we are only focused on the material opulence and forgetting that our connection is with Krishna. So have a lifestyle that propels our Krishna consciousness. Yeah? What do I mean by the standard of life? Sri Prabhupada explains us here that we make Krishna the central point. Remember? I asked you to remember on this particular punchline. That our life has to be modeled around Krishna as the center point. And we can extend it. And we can extend it by saying that Krishna should be the center of our life and also the circumference of our life. Krishna should be the center of our life and also the circumference of our life. What do I mean by that? By saying that Krishna should be... Kids, you have to settle down a little bit because otherwise I will not be able to concentrate. Please. By saying that... Krishna is the center of our life means to know, as Srila Prabhupada is writing in the book, that Krishna, that we are parts and parcel of Krishna, therefore every activity that we do should be for the pleasure of the Lord. Every activity we do should be for the pleasure of the Lord. No? As we keep saying, is Krishna pleased with my actions? And that's the test, that's the barometer. Is Krishna pleased with my action? Is Krishna pleased with my activity? Everything, you know, can be tested with that litmus paper. Is Krishna pleased with my activity? So, the center of life means to keep Krishna in the center and everything should be the pleasure of the Lord. The circumference of our lifestyle, by that I mean that whatever we do should be within the boundaries of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. When we love somebody, in order to please our beloved, of course there are things that we will do that will please the Lord, or the please our beloved. And there are things that we will do that will displease the below. So similarly here, when center is Krishna and we want to please Him, therefore everything that we do should be within the boundaries of what will please Him. And what do we know, or how do we know what is the circumference, what is the boundary? By knowing, by having that jnana chakshu through Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. The do's and the don'ts of Krishna consciousness. As simple as that. Now thank God that our Vedic wisdom is quite accommodating to everybody at every level. And therefore, this circumference, you know, this boundary of what is acceptable is of course there. But then even those who are outside the boundary are still welcome. As long as we know where we are in the boundary. So, Krishna consciousness is not restricted to anybody. Every person is allowed at every stage of life. Right from the Maya Partha Jnana till the Paramahamsa. But we just have to keep releasing our boundary gradually with, you know, the purification of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and doing Seva until we reach to the central point, you know, that now we are operating within the boundary. You know, and that is, at that stage, we are, you know, quite firm in our Krishna consciousness. You know. Then the anarthas start wiping away gradually. That outside the boundary, the circumference, if you like, is that anartha. That has to be gradually wiped out, you know, until we get to that lifestyle. So, standard of life, in a nutshell, we can say that Krishna becomes the goal of the soul. Krishna becomes the goal of the soul, rather than the material comfort being the goal of the body. So, this bodily concept of life, which causes all this suffering in the material world, because of the ignorance that we have about the relationship with Krishna, as Chaitanya Prabhu explains, that we have to remember two types of relationships. We have got a horizontal relationship with everybody, and that is, this is where I and you can operate, you know, at a spiritual level, that we know who we are, but all on a bodily concept of life, that's on a horizontal platform. But on a vertical platform, we have got an absolute relationship with Krishna. This relationship on a horizontal platform will keep changing from one bed to the other. They keep changing. Sometimes we are somebody's friend, sometimes we are somebody's son, somebody's father. Then we leave this body, we come back again, and again material relationships. Now again more relationships, all relatives will again come. At the end of life, all the relatives will disappear. That's why relatives are relatives. Whereas absolute is absolute. Relatives are called relatives because they are literally relatives. They are not absolute. Whereas Krishna is called absolute. Because whatever happens, wherever we are, this vertical relationship with Krishna always is there. It is the Sanatana Dharma of the soul. Jivara Sarupahi Krishna Nitya Das. So that realization has to come. Once we are situated in that realization, you know, that Krishna is the center in our whole purpose of life is to save the Lord, then lifestyle, the standard of life starts improving. We become happier and exuberant regardless of what our material living standard is. Whether we are in an opulent house or whether we are in a small kutir in India, when Krishna is in the center, life becomes happy. For example, the Pandavas, they didn't have anything, not even one single village when they were struggling. And they were still happy because Krishna was in the center. Everything is for the pleasure of the Lord. Yeah? So, Prabhupada tells us again that if you see the first line, and then I'll go to take some questions. Oh, we see in the translation. This bodily concept of is the cause of repeated birth and death, and it makes you go on continuously in material existence. This bodily concept is the cause of repeated birth and death. When we are on that aham and tvam platform, that I and you on a bodily concept of life, that's when we are suffering with the material bondage and material miseries. And misery is the continuous birth and death from the womb to the tomb. And we keep going through this cycle of birth and death. But what Prabhupada is telling us, you know, that we have to get out of this cycle of birth and death and rise from the platform of mortality to immortality. You know? Stop becoming, you know, stop this drama of dying and being born every now and then. Finish this off in this lifetime. And know that we are immortal soul. Connected with Krishna. when we are situated on that platform, you know, of knowing our relationship with Krishna, we actually transcend death and become happy rather than the suffering that we go through. So I'll summarize and then I'll take some questions. So we started with knowing that the translation talks about the problem, the cause of the problem, the effect of the problem and the solution. The problem is bodhi concept of life. The cause of the problem is ignorance. Remember? The effect of the problem is that we are suffering repeated birth and death. And the solution is to understand that Krishna is the center and we are his part and parcel. And our goal is to save him. Just as the hands and legs have the body. So when we are on the bodily platform, the focus tends to be more on the standard of living. And the standard of living is, you know, having material comfort with our financial backing. And therefore getting all these glamorous things that we buy. But the output of that, as we see broadly, is more stress, epidemic, you know. And people are suffering from this. Whereas, Sri Prabhupada gives us the solution that rather than focusing just on the standard of living, focus on the standard of life. Thereby we have to understand, what life is. And we did that experiment to refresh that actually we are not the body, we are the soul. Because we could see what was happening even with the closed eyes, that Siya was seeing. So then we have to improve our standard of life. How do we improve the standard of life? By understanding that Krishna is the center. And Krishna is also our circumference. Operate as Krishna, everything for Krishna's pleasure. And do whatever we do within the boundaries of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Understand that our all other relationships and everything else is all relatives. Because they are literally relatives. But the absolute truth is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we are His Jivaya Rupavai, Krishna and Nityanas. Once we establish on this platform of our eternal relationship with Krishna, then regardless of what our material possessions are, life will still be happy. We will feel that bliss inside us, simply by doing devotional service. Which is at least chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any questions?
This is an impertinent question. How much of this can you share in your office?
How much of?
How much of your with the days you give class? Can you share in your office? If so, how would you share this with someone outside of this room?
Okay. Yeah. Are you talking about my personal or are you generally?
I'm speaking generally. How can we share this with others?
Yeah, I understand. So, Madhuri's question is now of this philosophy, and I take it as the very philosophy rather than what we have spoken today. How much of this can we share, you know, outside the temple? Especially in the office, I guess how to give them this wisdom. And I guess probably the backdrop of that question is that if you look at the Western society, the focus is on karma, focus is on sense enjoyment, have a high standard of living, where is actually contrast to what we advocate of having a higher standard of life situated in Krishna consciousness. It's a very broad question. I think it all depends on time, place and circumstance. To what extent we can give, to whom depends on how much attracted they are to the philosophy, depending on the person's position. In my own experience, I have seen that the best preaching method that seems to attract people, at least in my office, is generally when I keep my mouth shut. And definitely in the family as well. Absolute fantastic strategy to preach in the family is when my mouth is shut. But my body is extremely active. For example, actually, when I go to my family, back in Fiji, and I'll come back to the office as well. When I go back to my family's in Fiji, if I wake up at 4:30, if I wake up at 4 o'clock, and I do my rounds, and then I do a small Mangalarti in the house, or I go to the temple and I kind of force them to come to the temple because I'm going. Not force, you know what I mean? They go because I go. And the way we conduct ourselves at the temple, you know, with the devotees, this is in Suva Fiji, by the way. The way we eat, what we eat, how much we eat, what we say, you know, what we read, all this has a very significant impact on their vision of what a lifestyle entails for a devotee. What a lifestyle entails for a devotee. So our preaching, generally for me, for the people that I know, is more effective on a bodily platform. Not like preaching about body, but through my, behavior. There is sadhana, seva and sadachar. There is our sadhana, which is the Krishna conscious activity we do. Then there is sadachar, which is our behavior. And there is seva, which is our service attitude. So once we are quite focused and fixed on our sadachar and our seva, on our behavior with people and our service to them, that attracts them, rather than the philosophy. Again, why? Because if you see the mentality of the Indian population, and I'm talking about like when I go home, if I come to the office, is when, as I think Deshabhu was also saying a couple of days ago, the problem with the Indian mentality is that they are too much into jnana, into knowledge. But their jnana is misconceived. As again, we saw here, that misconceived knowledge. You preach to an Indian man and he will say, I know this. Bhagavad Gita, I know this. Have you read this? No. But I know this. So too much of jnana. No? Whereas in the Western society, it is too much of kama. Too much of material opulence and material enjoyment. So the philosophy cannot enter their heart. No? It doesn't soften their heart. So, the behavior seems to work, on a family platform. Again, in the office, we have to give them in the doses that they can take. If you tell them, that there is a river, on the higher planetary system which is flowing with mango nectar, they never come and read our books. But if you tell them, that our lifestyle can be very healthier and more sustainable, if we choose this vegetarian diet or vegan diet. If, by the way, that person, sometimes when people ask me, what do you eat? Why don't you eat meat? So my instant response is, because this is good for my body. This is a much healthier choice. Now, I don't go into because, a killing is an offense, and you have to suffer karmic reaction and all that. Too much, too heavy. Such that, my body doesn't like this, and I have felt after being vegetarian for so many years, over 10 years, I'm feeling much more energetic, etc., etc., and I'm coming through less health problems, all that. Now, then they can relate to, people will relate to, because they also want to be healthy. What time do you wake up? I wake up at generally around 4:15, 4:30. So initially I didn't know again how to respond with this. Now when the moment you say to a person you wake up at 4 o'clock, Father, is he mad or something? It's a crazy person. He needs some sleeping tablet maybe. This is ungodly time to wake up at 4 o'clock. Are you okay? And I also made the same mistake of trying to explain. This is why better, right? When I was probably less experienced in my Krishna consciousness. So I would tell them waking up, early is good, I can do my meditation and all that. And by that time they have totally dozed off with the philosophy or with anything. So very simple answer now. If somebody asks me, what time do you wake up? I generally wake up around 4 o'clock, what about 4:30. Oh, I can see, that stunned the face. Why do you wake up so early? My body is just like that. My body is just like that, I generally tend to struggle to sleep after 4:15. Oh, okay. Now, there is no dispute now, because it's my body, what can I do here? I can't sleep now. But then, again, after some time, then I'll put in the philosophy. By the way, when I wake up early, I find that I'm quite constructive, because, rather than just wasting my time in bed, I can do a lot of things, I can make some nice breakfast, rather than eating cereal on the go. I get a nice save of fruits, I cut them down, and then I offer, I don't say offer, sorry. I make nice plate, fruits and all that, little bodies and all that, then I partake. So I'm feeling I'm more energetic in the morning. And I get time to do some mantra meditation because, I read somewhere that mantra meditation is the problem of all stress at the moment. So if you are also struggling, you can try this habit. Something like that. So, very gradual way of doing it. But there's no one bullet that solves all the problems. I mean, there is one bullet, it's gulab jamun. How many times can we take Gulab Jamun to the yogis? Once I have the red check on the tree, I have to go to the...
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. I was just hoping to focus again on not only what we can do for ourselves, but what we can share.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, again, as Vyasadeva, you know, when he writes Bhagavatam after being despondent, after writing so many scriptures, when Narada Muni finally tells him that the cause of your despondency is that, you know, you have missed the essence of everything, which is the service to the Lord, rather than glorifying Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, Toka, Mon, Bhakti. So when Vyasadeva finally sits down to write Bhagavatam, then he writes, he begins his writing with a wonderful statement that I am compiling this based on my own realizations. I'm combining this based on my own, of course, what I have read with rapt attention, and I have assimilated it in my life, and then I'm now broadcasting this based on my own realizations. So when we speak based on our own realizations, that also becomes very attractive. So preach the philosophy based on our own realizations, rather than just a theoretical, you know, representation. Because as devotees, we don't only present Vedic wisdom to them, we also represent Vedic wisdom. We don't just present Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita to everybody. We should also represent Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam to everybody. What do I mean? Again, representation means that, presentation means, now here's a book, I'll explain to you, full stop now. Okay, go home. Representation means, you know, that I'm actually imbibing those values in our life. And you can, not that I'm, you know, I mean, as an example, one has imbibed those values and therefore it's quite evident and exhibit in his lifestyle. And therefore that becomes very attractive. Such as Prabhupada. His lifestyle imbibed the Vedic values, and therefore he is very attractive. Although he is, in one sense, in the standard of living, he was living, you know, he was sleeping in Vrindavan, it was in summer. He is sleeping on the roof of the ashram, which is called, like, temperature is 40 degrees in the night. So, in one sense, the standard of living is very minimal, but the standard of life is very high, always happy, regardless of the material world. So, our own realization, we represent our own. Somebody, again, people ask, what is, when we talk about, we should read Bhagavad Gita as it is. Why as it is? Why not the other books, you know? Generally, Bhakti Vrikshas, I get this kind of question. So, the best translation, you know, then my response to this is, the best translation of Bhagavad Gita is how well we can translate it in our life. The best translation of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam and any Vedic wisdom is how well we can translate it in our life. Otherwise, it's just not just the book, you know what I mean. Otherwise, it's all theoretical. There has to be a personal assimilation and realization. Anything else? You have a wonderful question. Anything else? Yes, it's wonderful. Kids.
Somebody asked, why do you do so much mantra meditation? Hare Krishna all the time. So what is your answer?
So, the question is, if somebody asks us, why do we do the Maha Mantra every time, Hare Krishna? What is the answer? Depends where you are explaining this. Different answers, different horses for different horses, depending whether it's Bhakti Bhiksha or temple, etc. But again, generally speaking, at a wider community, at the temple, at the office, this mindfulness is a big thing in the Western, or not Western, in the modern world at the moment. Mindfulness. There's, in my office, I get this presentations regularly. Mindfulness. People, they specialists will come and talk about mindfulness. And mindfulness, they explain, you know, is something that you can focus on, you know, your mind on some particular thing. So then I try to, you know, of course, put the honey on this, you know, to say, you know, that there's a mantra. You know, then I explain to them what man and mantra means. Man means mind, and tara, because they won't know the word mantra. So then I tell them, man means mind, and tara means to deliver, you know, to deliver the mind. And how to deliver the mind is through my mantra. And the mantra that I imbibe in my life, that works in my life, again through my own realizations I'm preaching, to say, you know, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So when I, you know, recite this mantra, it works for me. So you can also try. And that's when I give them the mantra if they are interested, without giving them the beads and all that. Just try this mantra, I tell them to chant for this, you know, maybe 5 minutes in the morning, and come and tell me how you felt. So then you develop that relationship with the person and take it to the next level, you know, one step, baby steps, you know, to a new person altogether. You can't tell them to chant 16 rounds and come to Mangalarti. Not possible. The maximum is you can give them 2 cookies if they have chanted, you know, 5 minutes of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So then we tell, so you have to teach them, you know, in that particular context, to say this mantra, mindfulness is there, stress is there because of mind being bewildered, you know. So bring it to stabilize, make it stable through concentration. And add this sound vibration which helps. And then there are time. The good thing about, one good thing about, amongst many things, one good thing about Western audience when preaching is they receive things very nicely. If you tell them, they'll go and try. And they'll come and tell you, didn't work. Oh, it worked. But they'll tell you, not like, you know, I know this mantra, I chant this mantra. Not that kind of vegetation. It's very easy to preach. It takes very long to bring them on board, but relatively easier to preach. No debates.
So you don't tell them that it's for Krishna preaching. You have a prayer for Lord.
They don't believe in Lord now, so where's the love for the Lord? First they have to understand there is a Lord before they can develop the Lord. Too high level. And depends on the audience. But at the basic it's very high level. So it's in the mind. Bhagavatam ki.